Hi, I'm Tegan Graham, aka The Better Graham, and this is the DU Football Show.
Really?
I needed to fucking jump in on something quick, man. She was like, we're going right into the show. I mean, I get it. She's producing, and that's what she's supposed to be doing, but it was like, fuck me. She came right at it.
I know. A little much. Are you okay after yesterday?
Hey, we survived.
All right, good. All right, you ready to do this, though?
You know what's great?
Huh.
No motherfucking Malort. I don't care if we didn't play. It still counts. Let's start the show.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston?
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Right, AA, the fucking Gooner Graham. Smell the Malort. Looks great in shorts. Sam Graham, hey.
Sam Graham.
Fucking United! Fucking United!
Hello and welcome to the DU Football Show, a completely biased recap of the English Premier League and the FA Cup as told by two common American schmucks. I am your host, Sam Houston, and across the way from me, with the meanest, maddest, dankest memes, my co-host, Mr. Samuel Graham. How you doing, Mr. Graham?
Doing very well, thank you. You know, just sharing my life away.
That's a little foreshadowing. Little foreshadowing.
little habanero pepper for later. A little spicy.
Oh,
a little spiciness.
Definitely
smell.
Definitely some spiciness. Mel's a little spicy.
Mom's a little pissed off.
We're recording at the DU Public House just outside the nation's capital. You can check us out wherever you get your podcast. And of course, streaming live right now, wherever you like to get your streaming services, we are available on every single Monday night.
Yep.
Should you want to chat with us, there are as many ways that you can. Mr. Graham, tell the good people how they can get in touch.
Absolutely. It's at DU Football Show on all the social media and DU Football Show at gmail.com to get in touch via email. And make sure you join the closed group, Drunkard United FC. It's where most of the hashtag bans happen. And it's a ton of fun in there on about 99.9% of the time.
Well, I mean, as long as it's not a dank meme that upsets people.
Taylor's already got one up. Even with the freebies, longtime Patreon subscribers, when infamous Shore Billy Ruse paid content being released for free. First time?
Not wrong at all.
He was so like getting that out fast. Like he think messed up a little in the typing, but the thing's still the same.
Sam and myself both work in the wine and spirit industry and both have a deep, passionate love for all things distilled spirits. So as the red-blooded Americans we are, we vow to have a drink in our hand throughout this show and every single show. Right off the jump before we get into this big one, big shout out to our boy Ken.
Yes.
We'll get into why, but that is who procured us number six. And I know he said he was going to have his daughter stay up a little bit to watch live. So let's just give her quick shout out.
This show would be better with less F words.
Sorry, Maddie, we're still going to fucking cuss. backstory behind that, too. Whenever I go over and hang out with him and we share a few whiskeys up in Hartford County, yep, and have a cigar, she anxiously sits around us waiting for me to slip up. So she
nice.
Goes, oh.
Brilliant.
So, that's Mr. Good. Graham, what are we drinking tonight?
Absolutely. We have number six on Whiskey Advocate's top 20 of 2023. And this is the Maker's Mark Cellar Aged 2023. It clocks in at 57.85% by volume. That'd be 115.7. How you like that math? Quick math. Hashtag quick math.
Well done. If we had a full bottle of it, we'd be able to read that. Yeah, but
couldn't. Had to just do it. Should have ran about 150 when it was available in March.
Uh-huh.
And after that, we couldn't get any. But Ken came through for us, obviously, which Sam has already alluded to. Your blurb comes from David Fleming, and Whiskey Advocates panel rated this a 94. This year came the moment Maker's Mark fans have all been waiting for, the release of an ultra-aged Maker's Expression. The extra maturation was done in a specially built limestone cellar to guard against Kentucky summer heat. The result is a dram of your dreams, beautifully integrated flavors of cocoa powder, cinnamon, cola, black cherry pudding, vanilla, and delicate spice, followed by a long finish delivering more of the same. It's smooth and irresistibly drinkable, even at this powerful proof. The Makers faithful will be delighted to know there's more coming, as this will now be an annual release. Cinnamon, yes. Baking spice, yes, on the end. Black cherry, yes. I don't get a ton of chocolate off of it, like cocoa powder. Cola, yeah, but cherry and baking spice tends to taste like cola.
Cola, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a, and the finish is pretty decent. Got a little heat to it, but it dissipates quickly. It lets you know it's there, but it definitely calms down and all the flavor comes through remarkably well.
I'd say this
well.
Was a bottle in bond at an even 100. I would not say it was 115. I would certainly wouldn't say that. It is bloody fucking exceptional. It is a fantastic glass of whiskey. Yeah. And there is no fucking reason this bottle should be on this fucking list.
Yep. Correct.
Obviously, by taste and stature and everything, it should be on
it should be on any list.
Right. But the point of this list is to be accessible whiskeys. And we are lucky that we have relationships.
We are very lucky.
Or we have friends that have relationships, or we have stores like your store, all of you, who was smart enough when they got this bottle, did not sell it right away. They put it in the back and they held on to it because honestly, this is like trying to find a fucking pappy.
Yeah, it's a unicorn, man. It's a fucking unicorn.
And
unicorns shouldn't be on this list. To your point, it's supposed to be accessible to get people into whiskey. The other problem we had with this list this year was the expensive nature of this list. So you're trying
should
to get people
under $1.50.
You're trying to get people into whiskey. You want people to enjoy whiskey, and it's a community. There's how many groups about whiskey?
Yeah.
To only have, you know, $100 plus bottles on a list and you have five marks you can't find but once a year. It's like, come on.
With Scotch, I get because they're going to probably be about $1.50. I get that.
I'm just saying.
But on the American whiskey side, there's plenty of other things you could have put on. And especially when we do the next two that we do are also going to be harder to find American whiskeys, but not impossible to find American whiskeys.
This was impossible to find.
Like,
unless you're us, because we're that good. As
when
we
this
say
list
all the time.
Came out, we honestly, we were like, well, let's start figuring out how we're going to find tasters. Like, let's figure
which
this
we
out.
We have a network of people that we use for that as well.
Right. And Ken helps with a lot of that on the taster side of things.
Justin does too. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. There's been stuff before where it's just not on the list and you can only get it down in Kentucky. And Justin got us a bottle.
Yep.
He came up and got us a bottle.
Your boy Todd's gotten us stuff down there a few times. Lives just across
absolutely,
the border.
Absolutely. Yep. So I can say the following. This is an exceptional fucking glass of whiskey. It truly is. It is absolutely fucking exceptional. If you could find a bottle of it, I'd say buy it. It's worth every fucking penny.
It definitely is.
If you see it on a back bar at a good whiskey bar, spend the $75 for a 1 ounce dram and try it. You should try this whiskey. It's beautiful. This is Makers is a weeder, much like the Pappies are a weeders. Mm-hmm. And weeders get really good with age.
Yeah, yeah. They
and
do.
This is
I'm annoyed they didn't tell us how old it was.
11-year-old and 12-year-old juice.
Oh, is it okay? Blended 11 and 12-year-old. Nice.
It was like 13% 11-year-old juice, and the rest, the other 87, was a 12-year-old juice.
All right.
Yeah. It, again, says it all on the label, which I would
wish I had.
Right.
You want to know what's interesting, too? Little side note.
Yeah.
A little full circle side note, Mel. Yeah. Limestone in the paranormal world is a great conduit for spirit energy. Okay. Tour company, downtown Annapolis. Drunk Mel, almost impaling herself and becoming a ghost. We could drink this and talk to her again, Sam. Limestone cellar.
It was a good try, Chet.
Thanks.
Good try, Graham. Really was.
It was far-fetched.
Yeah, you worked on it. It was, you know.
I had to do two laps to get there is the problem.
Processing it as you were doing
fast
the joke,
enough.
You know, just it's not bad. You know, they don't all land. They
it's
don't all right. Land.
It's okay. No, they don't because they're ghosts. They don't have feet.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah, see that's quicker. That's the point.
Yeah. All right. What else do we got to do, Mr.
Always
Graham?
Always remember to drink responsibly.
Again, thank you very much, Ken, for pulling this off. And he has said that he will be bringing the last little bit of the bottle to the whiskey party.
Nice.
So the Patreon people will have the opportunity to try a little bit of it. But when I say a little bit of it, honestly, everybody, I mean a little bit. Try to make sure.
This is one that won't be on the table. He'll be holding the bottle himself.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely.
To help give samples
out. All right. Let's go ahead and get into it. Abbreviated week. I want to go ahead and give this preface right off the bat. We know a lot has happened with the profitability and sustainability situation. There is now rumor that Wolves are about to be charged. Obviously, Forest got their deduction today. Everton still has another hearing coming up. We are not discussing any of that this week other than in one context for Luton a little bit later. We're going to save that all till next week. It's an international break. We're going to need something to talk about. We're going to talk about that the whole damn time. What I want to go ahead and open with is it was a very eventful week for Luton. The Hatters had a week of ups, downs, and well end after today. Who really fucking knows?
Yeah.
Bournemouth 4, Luton 3, Luton 1, Forest 1. Great start. Amazing first half for Luton. They're doing everything right. And then it all went to shit.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, as well as Cheech performed on her stroll on the way back to the car, Chong was all by himself in the 6-yard box.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Was.
Hey, well hashtag said. Witty. Okay.
She's too focused on that now. She's already toned us out. Look at her. She's already toned us out.
She's not even listening. Jesus, that was good. How was he so alone? What happened?
I mean, completely. Just completely alone?
I mean, honestly, the Bournemouth defense was like a bad parent at the mall. Mm-hmm. They just completely lost their kid.
Yeah, just let the kid walk away.
Yeah, he's just doing what he wants. Just a lovely old stroll. It'll be the easiest goal he'll ever score. But it was a good cross, though, to pick him out. He didn't have to change his run, didn't have to break stride. It was excellent. Kaminsky obviously saved well a few times to keep Luton's advantage. And Ogbene doubled their lead on 31 minutes after some decent play from Luton, actually. Knocked around pretty well around midfield, found the gap, and just exploited it.
Yep.
But then, as you say, and then Ross Barkley
with a thunder strike.
It was a thunderbolt. Good counterattack that. And Ross Barkley was on it from the jump when it was, you know, it was kind of his both games, really. If you want to talk about him in context, both games were Ross Barkley centric. Mm-hmm. He was excellent across the whole week for them. Oh, yeah.
And then next thing you know, Bournemouth, something. Areola gave one hell of a team talk because that team got their shit together in the second half.
Yeah, no, they did. But Solanke got it off with a fine piece of strength and skill and everything else. But I had the same thought about the Foot Clan watching the Ninja Turtles back in the day. They've only got four. Mm-hmm. Right, Solanke's only one guy. He was surrounded by three within about 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to attack one at a time,
right?
To use your advantage,
yeah, attack them all at once.
Yeah, they're all just standing there waiting for that guy to get beat so they can jump in.
Yeah,
it's like it just reminded me of like bad superhero cartoons and movies where they're terribly outnumbered by the villains and they just stood there waiting for their turn to get their ass kicked.
It's like every Roadhouse-style movie, like Patrick Swayze getting ready to fight somebody. Yeah. There's five guys. They each come on one at a time. Wop, wop, boom, next guy. Wop, wop, boom, next guy. Wop, wop, boom.
Absolutely fucking ridiculous. But yeah, so they did that. And Solanke did well to beat the defender he had. He was, you know, not favorite to get on the end of that ball and then scored, obviously. But yeah, Golmao scramble. Zabarini did his thing.
Ball over the line. It looked like
barely over the line. Right. I mean, it was close. I think the Luton defender probably should have left the first one for Kaminsky. He was kind of in the way, to be honest. Kaminsky looked like he had it covered, but that's what popped it back into play and allowed the second header to come in.
Well, and as that second goal happened, you could just see Luton kind of really shrink into itself. You could feel the tension, like
big time. And it only took two minutes.
Right. Instead of them trying to really kind of go for it, just and at that point you're just like, oh shit, they're gonna bottle this one.
Well, yeah, and it only took 2 minutes for Semenya to get his goal to equalize. So it was, you know, it was very quick. And you saw that those shoulders drop and them, as you say, collapsing amongst themselves to try to defend that lead. And then, but that's not your game plan. It's not how you're set up. It's not your system.
That's not who you are.
It was very easy to exploit space and to get around that at that point. And and Semenya did. And then he got another one, obviously, later on.
Yep. And that kind of put that did
but,
it.
But Carlton Morris and Barkley should have scored kind of each and together.
Oh yeah. Well, Neto had himself a very good match.
He did have a good game as well.
Not have a very good game against Sheffield the week prior.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that happens here, though, is Luton then have to have a quick memory, man. Got to be a goldfish. You got to forget about this shit because you now have the team that is directly in front of you in the table in your building that weekend. And Kenilworth was bumping.
Absolutely was. They were right behind the team, as they should be.
And the Hatters came out swinging. Now, ironically, they wouldn't be the first team to score. But at first, like you said, Ross Barkley was on the ball. He was ready to have a day.
It was his week. I mean, I think he had four shots in the first 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It, like three of them were on target.
But as the half went on, fucking Forrest took over. And
they threatened a couple times, but Kaminsky did well. It wasn't nothing really clear cut that Forrest had. But now there was one very special goal line clearance from a Divock Origi shot that was stopped. But Chris Wood uses everything but that big meaty forehead
to get that ball
in the back of the net. Yeah. Every inch of his 6'3" frame and his studs to get that ball in the back of the net. And but it was a good cross. It was a good goal, good run.
My observation is after that happened, you saw it again. Mm-hmm. You saw Luton's starting to feel the pressure of where they are and everything. And they've also, I think they're very aware, and we'll get onto it here in a moment, of how the rest of the season looks for them.
Yeah.
Right? And they knew this is one they needed. And really, the bulk of the second half, Forrest did everything they should. They really did. I mean, they gave it away at the death. And it took...
Yeah, but Mangi had a goal disallowed.
Right.
Which, kind of the same thing happened in West Ham, which we'll come on to later. I think it's a bit unfortunate. I understand how the rule's written.
It's what the handball rule
is. But it's not intentional. And a lot like, actually, two of West Ham's goals. The arm was still tucked in.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you meant to do with it? Right. Where am I supposed to put this?
Right, right.
Like, I'm not making myself bigger.
Right. And if it was a defender and that had happened, it wouldn't have been called a handball.
It's not
a handball.
It's not a penalty. So why are you taking the goal away?
Right.
I'll say it. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Goals are the best bit.
Yep.
Why are we doing everything we can? Absolutely the best bit. Why are we doing everything we can to take away goals?
Yep.
I fucking hate that. Despite his goal being disallowed, he had another brilliant goal line clearance as well to keep Luton in the game. And that obviously proved crucial because Luke Berry in the 89th minute.
Yep.
Well done.
Yep.
But before that.
Would it surprise you to hear that it was off a set piece?
Oh, yeah.
Luton might be good at set pieces, but everybody.
What a fucking glancing header that was to get it to that far post. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the epitome of a flick. A deft little flick took literally the entire Forest team out of play. And set up a fairly easy finish for Luke Berry.
Yeah, the only thing Forrest didn't do right in the second half was put him away.
That's the wrong game.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, because Luke Berry was a set piece that came in from the front, and he swept it. Oh. He turned on a dime and shot it with his left foot. That was Luke Berry's finish.
It was,
that was excellent.
Woodard.
It was Woodard in the other game.
In this one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anywho, the game ends. They get the draw. They are now 3 points behind Forrest until this morning when we come to find out that Forrest, under the financial and sustainability violation, has been docked 4 points. Again, we will get into all of that on next Monday.
All the details next Monday, yeah.
But even with that, Luton's schedule is not easy the rest of the way. They have the hands down the hardest opponent schedule the rest of the way, and a lot of them aren't at Kenilworth.
And I think they're only 2 points clear for us. Is that right?
One point clear
for us. Yeah.
Because they were three behind, and then the 4 point deduction puts them one ahead.
Right.
And you're out of the zone, right? Which is where you need to be. But in the same regards, remember when Everton got their 10 points? They won 4 in a row.
You made that up in a few weeks.
Right. Yeah. Because they got fired up about it and it galvanized them. You have to imagine this will do the same to Forrest as well. And frankly, Forrest has an easier schedule the rest of the way.
And Forrest is getting a little healthier.
Yeah. So my personal opinion, the Hatters are a great story. Everybody wants to see them survive this season.
Yeah. For sure.
I think for me personally, they fell out of the league on Wednesday. That loss is going to be too much to come back from.
Well, the worst part is, and we've said this about Sheffield United, you know, a lot lately. We said this about, to an extent, about Burnley, not as much, but because they do still try, they just suck. But Luton are giving it an honest fucking go, you know, and that you want to see that. We've said this about Norwich in the past a few times. Those of you that have been longtime listeners to the show, when you pack it in and give up, we're kind of over it.
Yeah.
You know, but Luton haven't done that. They've been a credit to themselves and they've been trying to do the best they can. They haven't come and just been, you know, fucking low block. We're going to defend our way through this and finish. They're playing their way. And they're losing games 4-3.
Right.
They're rescuing points at the death. They're trying to entertain their fans. And it's just sad that we probably are going to lose them at the end of the season.
As one of the members, and forgive me for not remembering who you were specifically, but someone in the group had said, while the 4-3 is exciting, this looks exactly like the team that's about to go down.
Yeah.
We move our attention to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup that saw some amazing matches, but still sees three of the big six going to Wembley. Coventry 3, Wolves 2, Manchester City 2, Newcastle 0, Chelsea 4, Leicester 2, Manchester United 4, Liverpool 3. Coventry actually dominated the bulk of the match against the Wolves.
I said Coventry should have been up 6-0 at halftime.
I mean, Jose Sal
had himself a hell of a game. Jose Sal was excellent in this game multiple times over. It surprisingly was 0-0 at halftime.
Right.
But Ellis Sims gets a goal. Really, as we've said, was a long time coming.
Yeah.
But there was a 5-minute spell shortly after that where Wolves just let their quality show. Not shortly. Yeah. That was about 20 minutes later. Right. But where Wolves just let their quality show finally. Hey, fuck, we're the Premier League team here.
Right.
And they just hit him, bang, bang, just sucker punch.
Yep, couple of goals, and then in the 86th minute.
Yeah, Ait Nuri and Bueno.
Coventry's going, oh shit, we're down.
Yeah,
we're down.
Gary O'Neill's thinking, hey, this is Bueno right now.
90th minute, Ellis Sims scores again, makes it 2-2.
No Bueno.
Yeah. I will say there was a little bit of controversy in this match before we get to the game winner. Was on the first goal, Ellis Sims with a potential handball. I do think VAR got it right in the following sense. There was not a good enough angle to be able to overturn it, right? It has to be clear and obvious.
So it's just again, Arsenal and Wolves get fucked, huh?
I would also say, you know, it's that in the West Ham one, I didn't think it was clear and obvious to overturn that one.
I did.
Yeah.
You could see his arm move towards it.
Just a little, you know, but I think they got it right personally. And then, of course, there was also the kick to the face that some people are like, oh, he kicked him in the head. It was like, this was exactly like the McAllister situation. The guy threw his head right at where the guy was kicking it. Yeah. He was looking for the foul and he barely got him. Like there was a little nick on his nose and a little bit of blood. And it just felt like it was looking for that foul.
Trying to find a reason to give a red.
So I think VAR got that right as well. But we get 10 extra minutes added on. And when you know it, in the 90th plus 10th minute, what the fuck happens?
Oh, yeah. Haji Wright just found the corner with such a beautiful shot and hurried as well. I mean, Wolves were trying to close him down. He had some pressure on him. Mm-hmm. He almost didn't get the shot off. And he found that far corner. Jose saw it full stretch again. Almost got a fingertip to it, but just couldn't reach it. And it was fucking scenes, man.
It was that brilliant. Perfect wide curve that it looks like it's going wide, but as you can tell, it's almost like it bent around, and then turned in and barely nestled itself right inside the post.
It was just sexy.
Perfectly hit ball. And then everybody losing their mind.
Of course, because that's what the FA Cup's about.
I mean, it was incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
That's the point of it.
Championship side Coventry City is finding themselves going to Wembley in the semifinals.
And then soon to be championship side Manchester United is who they'll face.
Yeah, precisely. honestly,
JK.
This one would keep very short and sweet. Sorry, Billy, there's just not a lot to really talk about. City were clinical. You know, Silva scored the exact same way both fucking times.
Yeah, deflections.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
But also in the box, how he scored them, like how he got open, how he got himself to the shot. Like,
yeah, I mean, Newcastle obviously have their injury issues.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Isak had a great chance. Stefan Ortega did make a very good save from that shot. He was only about 8 yards out, got a good strong left hand to it, and cleared it out of the six, actually, with that touch as well, which was pretty good. But other than that, we watched a City possession drill that they do at training.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty much what Bernardo Silva had two deflected shots, and I wanted to claw my eyes out. And I only watched the 10-minute highlight package.
And the key thing I would say with that match, honestly, for Newcastle is now, if you're following the Manchester City model, you were supposed to win a cup this year. You were supposed to win something like a domestic cup. You didn't.
Right? They also haven't bought like City bought back in the day.
True. Very true. But now you are at the point where right now you're on the outside looking in of Europe. You need to get into Europe. If you want to keep spending money, you need to get into Europe.
They are at the point where somebody should be punching a horse. Because everybody's getting angry and defensive, and I like it.
Just what you expect from your Geordies, right?
Punch a police horse.
Or punch each other. Punch a teammate or punch a horse.
Yeah. Or just go get yourself a 12-pound all-you-can-eat. Pasta buffet.
Kind of same thing. We're going to kind of keep this one short and sweet, even though there were a lot of goals to be had and some interesting storylines. Chelsea go up and then give up probably the ugliest, stupidest own goal I think anyone's ever seen in their lives.
That was brilliant. But I do want to mention how Cucurella was the second toddler lost this weekend at the ball. And he was fucking all alone.
Yeah.
Now, how they missed that.
Big old bushy hair. How do you miss that kid?
Yeah. He almost blocked himself from seeing it. It came in front of his face.
He's got locks. He's got locks that put Uranus to shame, man.
Oh, bad. Yeah, no. I look like a crackhead compared to him. he's brilliant. Maybe not in the face, but in the hair situation. Yeah, definitely.
What was
you
so
remember when he got yanked down in the box by his hair?
Yep.
That was he should probably put that up.
What was so brilliant about the own goal that Chelsea gave up? It was one of those ones where it happened so slowly and you're just watching the ball.
You can see the whole thing
bouncing into the net, and you just see the keeper just isn't even moving because the keeper knows even if I try to run and get it.
Robert Sanchez shouldn't have been where he was in the first place. I don't know where it's like he just stopped walking.
And the defenders and they're all just looking at it, just going, well, that's going to go into the net.
Goal.
There it is.
Have you ever seen anybody play Fortnite and like go up to a non-playable character and they just are continually just kind of strolling around, right? And you could buy things off them or whatever. Robert Sanchez looked like that. Like, De Sassi had taken 3 or 4 touches back towards his own goal, and Sanchez is just still wandering out of the box.
Just walking away.
Where's he going?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And De Sassi wasn't even under that much pressure and just absolutely launches this ball skyward. If it was on the ground, he didn't hit it very well. But if it was on the ground, Sanchez probably could have caught up to it because of the friction of the ground.
Yep.
But the fact that he ended up underneath of it, it let it continue its momentum just that much more. And Sanchez couldn't get there. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
So Chelsea gives up their lead. The Foxes get a red card. And then Chelsea scores 2 more and wins.
Yeah.
It was just like the weirdest kind of
ebb
and flow to this match.
Well, so what do you think? There was a red in this one, wasn't it?
Yes, there was.
What do you? First off, I had to find 4 different highlight streams because ESPN's didn't show the fucking red card
really?
For some reason.
Wow.
I don't know if it's because my YouTube cut to an ad and I could have rewinded it, but the video did not go back to where I left the video. Mm-hmm. I came back to, it's a red card. And I didn't know what happened.
Hmm.
So I had to go find it. So I finally saw it.
It's
obviously definitely a red.
I saw it, but I was watching it in real time while also watching the Villa West Ham game. So I didn't. I saw it, but I didn't see it kind of
thing. But it was absolutely a red card, obviously.
Yeah.
No question about that. But before that, I thought Mavididi was great. And if you were a Chelsea defender, besides De Sassi, Mavididi had, feet like Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
He just made everybody fucking miss. They just didn't know what they were doing, all at 6s and 7s, and a good finish. Sanchez at full stretch couldn't get there again.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the Chelsea supporters, right? It's tied 2-2 now, I think, in it. And he subs off Mudryk. And then the boos rain down from the stands. Well, Chukwuemeka, who he brought on for Mudryk, ends up scoring the go-ahead goal, the winner.
Yeah.
And then you have Medueke, who came on for, Chukwuemeka came on for Raheem Sterling, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Medueke, who came on later, added the insurance goal.
That was a hell of a rip.
That was a fucking great shot.
Oh, that was a shot.
But then everybody's, now we're clapping again. So it's like you criticize the manager, but the decisions he made won you the game. But it was very strange. The whole thing was very strange. I'm so glad I'm not a Chelsea supporter.
So honestly, here for the final thought with Chelsea is it's the
I can't make that show title.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm so glad I'm not a Chelsea supporter.
It's just so confusing. I don't know who to root
the,
for.
The match was confusing. But it was just a weird match.
Taylor says a Fortnite reference. Who let Mez Oil in their studio?
Walked right into that one, killer. The thing for me is now for Chelsea, they have to win this FA Cup. And if they don't win this FA Cup and they don't get into Europe, frankly, they're in trouble with their finances as well. Now, I'm sure the FA will figure out a way to make sure that they'll be A-OK, because that's how they roll. I'm saving that for next week. Rant for next week. But they do pull City and you're like, OK, well, you know, City should probably win. Not so fast. Fucking, they've had multiple score draws with them this season. So,
oh, yeah. Remember, Ederson's out for a few weeks. It's going to depend on when that game falls. I'm not sure the dates of the semis.
Finally, the one we really need to talk about, quite frankly, it is, of course, Manchester United, Liverpool. This, for the neutral, was absolutely fantastic. This is a classic cup match. This is a classic Northwest derby.
Yeah.
This was
a fucking ding dong.
Fucking perfect.
This was back and fucking forth God. The whole time. I pulled just one stat that tells you everything you need to know. 53 shot attempts between them, dead even at 11 shots on target for both teams.
Wow. Wow. And of course, United go up early. Although it looked like Liverpool was really getting the chances, and then
Scott McTominay steals in after a good save from Kelleher, but he put it back into the danger area, and McTominay just reacted first. It was just, the McTerminator strikes again.
And right before the end of half, you think it looks like United's going to go in fine. No, it's 1-1. Oh, no, sorry. It's 2-1.
It's 2-1.
And
Mo Salah's goal, there was a stretch of time where he couldn't connect a pass.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he turns it on, bang, goals.
Goal, like, back in the net.
We're nice.
And you get into the second half and Anthony ties it up and just like, you're like, all right. And then Liverpool.
Well, Anthony, I do want to mention, second goal in all competitions this year.
Mm-hmm.
Also his second goal in the FA Cup this year. Fucking what a time to get it.
He scores, Liverpool goes up again. I mean, this thing was just, it was batshit. It was absolute batshit.
Marcus Rashford missed a golden opportunity to win it at full time as well. Just put a relatively easy chance. I just let the occasion get to him or the pressure get to him, whatever it was, and just dragged his shot wide.
And then into extra time.
And then here we go. We're in extra time, and then all hell breaks loose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things are a little chippy here or there, but it's Northwest Derby. That's what you should expect. But Harvey Elliott scored just on the stroke of halftime in extra time. Rashford makes up for his previous miss, equalizes 7 minutes after the restart. But then here we go with Amad Diallo. He ended up scoring the winner. And I get it. You're young. This is your first derby goal. It's a huge goal. It's really important. But you got to know you're on a yellow card, man.
Yeah.
There's going to be time added for the celebration for the two goals that have been scored in extra time already. Takes his shirt off and he's running. And it wasn't even like a good one. Rip it off, throw it in the crowd, do your big flexes.
No, he just wanted everybody to turn around and look at his name.
Look at my name. Well, but just fucking do what Ronaldo does. Just turn around.
Turn around.
Nah, second yellow, sent off for taking his shirt off. And Manchester United have to play. And now he misses the semifinal.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
What a dumb fucking move.
As a kid, I get it. He's young.
Still.
But it's like, come on, man. You gotta be aware. You already have a yellow card.
Imagine the shit he had to eat in the locker room later.
They didn't care. He scored the game winner. Also, I did like when he got the second yellow and he's walking off, rips off the shirt, just tosses it to somebody as he's walking in. I'm like, all right, at least you did that one, kid. Good job.
It's like, and for a lame shirt off celebration, too. Yeah. It's like, come on. At least do something cool. But so that's a shame. Obviously, he'll miss the semifinal, which after this, I'm sure he would have probably played at least in some capacity. But they're playing Coventry as well. I mean, I guess you'd like to think, well, domestic bands, he might actually just be named on the bench and serve the band
in the Premier League. Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, we'll see. But what are you doing? What'd you do that for?
I think Shorebelly put it out perfectly when he put up the post that it was going to be.
Now, I have a contention with this. You go ahead.
That Manchester United will barely beat Coventry 1-0. City will demolish Chelsea. And then United will beat City. Everybody will proclaim that Ten Hag's the greatest coach ever. They'll win a trophy. And then he'll promptly get fired a week later.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, yeah. That's
you're not wrong. So here's the problem I have with Shorebelly's commentary on this. Uh-huh. And he had the Senator Palpatine Kermit the Frog meme, which I fucking love that meme.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite memes because that also actually applies to Daedric Mel. because the original time I saw that meme was, I can't drink tonight. I got to get up early. And the Senator Palpatine said, take six shots, ruin everything. Over the speech bubbles, which I find funny. Here's my issue with what happened here. And I'm going to just read it to you. Me and the rest of the league watching Manure versus Pool. Yes. Extra time. Let the exhaustion flow. Run yourselves to death. So we have the Senator Palpatine character makes his first appearance. Then we have top four want Pool to lose. Rest of League One, a maneuver to lose. Both teams trying to tell world how good they are and how much it means. Wait, did he edit this? There was a portion of this that looked like Yoda. I think he edited this, maybe.
All right.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. So he wrote it in three different character voices, but it's all one paragraph.
Heard.
That annoyed me.
Okay.
Do better.
Hey, United, still a bunch of fucking frauds.
No, they're back, man.
Rounding out the rest of the league, and oh, so that happened. Burnley 2, Brentford 1, Fulham 3, Tottenham 0, Villa 1, West Ham 1. Burnley and Brentford was very interesting because in the first 5 minutes, there was a red card penalty. Burnley's up 1-0. Brentford's down to 10 men.
Well, the worst part about this is this game had Brentford get your confidence back written all over it. Brian Mbeumo's back on the bench for the first time in a couple of months. You had all of the ingredients were there for you to start to get yourself going again. And Sergio Reguilón just fucked it. Absolutely fucked it.
Insider information, continuing with the trend that Brett has done stuff. I have gotten it on good information that Brett was actually working on tackling drills with Reguilón before the match. So clearly he, you know, influenced him to push him over there.
I don't know what that, what?
Why'd you push him?
Just let him go.
Let him have the hit. Like, especially because with that push, it's clear you're denying a goal scoring opportunity.
Right. It's not, you take double jeopardy out of the equation. You're not going for the ball.
And you know the eye in the sky is going to look. Like, what is going through your brain?
It's just so boneheaded.
And then even from there, you know, Burnley, it took him forever to get a second goal.
Well, and Fofana. How many goals should Fofana have had?
It's this. They don't seem to have the instinct to just get it in the fucking net.
It's ridiculous. He finally did get his goal on a chance that was harder than the two that he missed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I don't know what that was about. But also, carbon copy of that miss, the one in the 6-yard box with the right-footed effort.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon copy of that happened in Spurs with Timo Werner, which was awesome.
Bees finally score a goal. I do have to say, I don't know if that goal should have been disallowed. I think that was a 50-50 ball, and I don't think Tony...
Well, Ivan Tony's at the end?
I think Ivan Tony was just going for the ball. Nah. His arm.
He elbowed him in the face.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know.
And then he kicked him in the face.
No, it looked like his hand was going across his arm, but it looked like he was jumping in the air to go for a header. I don't...
He looked at him.
Oh,
I actually, for once,
you are defending the goalie.
For once, I'm defending the goalie here.
Okay, fair
enough.
And
Merkic had himself a hell of a fucking game.
Now, I would say
he played very well as well.
I would also say the following: bees are in a bad way now. They are right in the thick of it, and Timmy Howard made the reference about Leicester of last year. It's like you look at this roster; it's loaded with players. And you think they're going to be okay, and you think they're going to be able to stay awake, but they can't because they yawn because they have too many kids. And what ends up happening? They end up being the team that goes down, and Brentford could find themselves in that situation. You like how I seamlessly worked in that little knock at you for fucking yawning during the show, right?
Yeah. But I didn't hear it, to be honest.
That's why I drive the bus.
But they probably won't go down because of either point deductions or other teams being shit. Or how many more reasons can they not go down?
Right. Fair enough. Complete domination by the Cottagers. I mean, that's the only way to put it. Fulham completely dominated Spurs.
Vicario was the only Spurs player that earned his fucking wages that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Timo Werner was about 6 inches out from goal. Goes left-footed like David Fofana should have, but still managed to put it wide somehow. Not sure how it just skims off his boot like that. That was the... chance I was referencing while we were talking about the last game. I have an interesting take. I wonder if Son, you know, he was kind of carrying a little injury when he came back from the Asian Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's just because they were in such a bad run. He came back early and because he does not look himself.
No, he does not. He does not. You're absolutely
right. He's not even hitting the target on chances that he'd be burying a season ago. Sure. Even earlier this season, I'm sorry.
Sure, Billy said, fucker cost me fantasy week, made him the captain.
That's a shame. Never, as you'll find out in the betting segment coming up, never put your money on Spurs. But always back your local podcast host.
Yeah.
Fulham were excellent.
Yeah.
They were excellent.
Played phenomenal.
Alex Iwobi was excellent. I always love, because it makes the defenders look so fucking ridiculous. I love when a player like fakes just a very simple outside of the boot cut, mm-hmm. right? But they fake it and just let the ball run straight. He made two Spurs defenders fall by doing that.
Yep.
And just cruise straight into the penalty box. It was fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things.
Spurs, it's again and again and again, they fucking figure out a way to kind of fuck it off, man.
Yeah.
They're healthy. Everyone's back. This is the opportunity to move into fucking fourth place.
And Mane's continuing to score. Seventh goal in seven games as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's huge. The first one was excellent. The second one was brave. You know, just hope he's... that didn't pick up some sort of contusion or something that might keep him out for a game or two. He was excellent. And Lukic, I love also very unorthodox, like when goals are scored with unorthodox body parts,
mm-hmm.
and just the invention to just throw his knee up at it, you know, which is very well done.
Mm-hmm.
It was all around is very well done. And Paulinho was excellent as usual.
Yep. And then there's the opportunity for Villa to go ahead and stretch their lead. They're only able to manage to stretch it to one because... David Moyes and the Irons are going to frustrate the fuck out of you.
I mean, honestly,
and that is exactly what it was the entire game until they finally put in the equalizer.
Villa did get lucky with the handball calls.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. There's no luck in that. They handballed it.
I agree that there's only one decision the referee can make, but I think it's a shit rule.
It literally rolled down his arm and went in. Like, they hit every single part. So you want to argue shoulder? Hit it. Elbow? Hit it. Forearm? Hit it.
For Suchek, yes, agreed. But not for Mikel Antonio. That goal should have stood.
But that's who hit it last before it went in.
I know the way the law is written.
Yeah.
But it's a shit law. What's he meant to do with his arm? He can't make it disappear. It was tucked into his body.
Yep.
It wasn't. It was ahead of his body.
No, that was the Suchek goal. I'm talking about Antonio, the first one that was ruled out.
Yeah, the first one.
He has no place to put his arm.
And if it was a defender, it would be considered not a handball.
Correct. But, if it's an attacker, it is a handball. It's bullshit.
I have no problem with these handball rules. I never have.
I'm sure.
But what does end up happening? They do find a way to get to point. They do hold on for the draw.
Very scrappy game.
It was it was exactly what West Ham does.
I know.
West Ham going to ugly it up, man.
Villa bought into it again. Mm-hmm. Kudus actually got a little rough. And David Luiz, I'm not sure. He did very well to not get sent off.
I'm amazed he didn't get sent off.
He was holding him. He was holding him, Kudus. Yeah. Kudus lashes out. Luckily, he missed with that little flying elbow he did. But right before the elbow, David Luiz lets go and does this weird like elbow pat on his shoulder. Like he was giving him a massage or whatever. It's very funny. It was very funny. I've never seen that move before in my life.
But honestly, now the draw is massive because that gives you a 3-point lead on Spurs. And Spurs does have a game in hand, but their game in hand is at the Bridge.
Right.
You know, they should beat Chelsea. But
they never do.
You know? Really? Right.
Now, who's this Zaniolo?
Zaniolo.
I've never seen him before.
Who is this Italian player? We got him from on loan.
I think it was Italy.
Roma?
No. You got him from loan in Turkey. I think it was Galatasaray, but he's an Italian.
In January?
No, in September.
I haven't seen him this whole season, really.
He's been playing in Europe. That's it. He was a Europe buy.
Okay.
Remember when the brief nothing burger of a gambling scandal came out?
We're not talking about your slider again.
He was one of the ones involved and he was like, oh, hey, no, in Italy. He was like, oh, hey, no, this is online poker. Come check my phone. I'm not gambling on games. I'm completely innocent. But it was a bunch of other Italian players.
Tonali being the most valuable.
Right. But I call him Thighmaster and I'm working very hard to get that over.
He does have nice thighs.
They're massive.
Yeah.
So anytime someone compliments him, I go, Thighmaster!
What an excellent toe poke.
Yeah.
The way he stole in there. It wasn't like we used to get at Soccer Dome, toe pokes. This was an excellent toe poke.
Yep. It was perfectly done.
But then the continued shithousery throughout the game, he should have been fucking sent off as well for throwing that ball away.
Well, we were in the bar watching it. And I'm going, what are you going to do? A Brazilian and Italian are going to get mad.
I mean, that's fair.
Those are two very passionate peoples.
So, like I said, Graham, here we now sit, and Villa now finds themselves in the driver's seat for Champions League with Spurs.
Feeling good.
They do.
And
we'll see what happens. I think Villa will have enough to get over the line, but we will see.
Sure money.
We're obviously not placing any bets.
And thank fucking God, because I lost again. I'm down 15.47 now. And I am so happy that we have a break. So mine just says fucking Spurs. Because even though one of the games that happened prior to that, I had already lost my bet on, Spurs did it more convincingly.
Right. You're blaming Spurs. Well, I imagine the one that you also lost on is the same one I lost on, because the Bees let me down with that early red card.
Yep.
And I'm now down at minus $118.
Big Sam's Lock of the Week.
To the listening audience, did you know that 26.666666667% of the time? It works 100% of the time. I actually forgot to say it on the live show, but I did talk about it on Injury Time. I had picked the Bees to beat Burnley, and I had picked Villa to beat West Ham, and of course, neither happened. I have still better than Pat and Graham. Mr. Pat will be sending in his email next week when he does the bets. Believe he hit, so I believe he's now ahead of you.
Oh, great.
If you get to that 27%, like within like a
27.63% of the time,
like if you get like close to that, I will bring it back to the t-shirt store.
Very good. The other thing worth mentioning is Kitty missed on another draw. She picked Fulham and Spurs to draw, and Fulham ended up whooping them. So she sits at 15 and 13.
Is that why she's living in a different house?
It could be. Could very well be, my friends. Yeah. So that is going to wrap it up, boys and girls. Mr. Graham, do you have any parting words?
Yeah, there's one. Dickie Doo that reared his ugly head this weekend. And if you watched any of the final bits of the Manchester United-Liverpool game, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's as the Liverpool players are walking off, you can see somebody doing the old wanker sign, right?
Nothing wrong with that. Fine.
I mean, yeah, there's kids around.
But it's lowbrow, but whatever.
Yeah, right. Okay, you're a wanker. You're doing the air jerk. That's fine. No problem.
And wanker is a term held children using that.
Of course.
I've heard children say a lot worse.
Child use that word. Yeah. in the footballing context, obviously. And but then that guy decided to fake smother himself, talk about pushing, demonstrated like a pushing motion, and then to smother himself again as we're coming up on the anniversary of Hillsborough.
Yeah.
You hate them more than I do in terms of your rivalries, but Hillsborough is off limits, man.
Uh-huh.
When 96 people and a massive government cover-up are perpetrated, you don't make fun of it.
And for the guy to motion like they pushed each other into suffocating.
Yeah. What the Yorkshire police did.
And what the newspapers did. And when it finally got proven that none of that had happened.
Yep.
I hate Liverpool with all my being. Everton hates Liverpool. Liverpool hate Everton. On the day of the Hillsborough massacre,
you all stand together.
There is always a child in a red shirt and a child in a blue shirt wearing a 9 and a 6 holding hands together.
Yep.
It is a tragedy. Fucking
leave it alone.
Talk all the shit you want. Don't be fucking bringing up race. Don't be bringing up someone's orientation.
Religion.
Sure as hell.
Just leave it alone.
Sure as hell. Don't bring up when people fucking died. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's the no fly zone. The cuntiest of cunty things to do.
Absolutely. And for those of you that don't know, Sam and I hold the belief, Mel actually holds the belief also, that as long as you wake up every day with the intention of trying to not be a cunt, then usually things turn out pretty okay for you. So our motto here on the show is hashtag DBAC. Don't be a cunt.
And that is the DBAC bear. So whenever you see that bear, why is that bear there? He's our official mascot. He's the don't be a cunt bear.
Yeah.
That is an excellent transition into our bonus show injury time.
So that's coming. So just to give a great example quickly of hashtag bands that are acceptable, right? Roma fans the other day against Brighton in Europe held up a sign and said the Queen gives BJs. Gave BJs. It was in a proper tense, which fucked up. She's dead. She was in her late 90s when she died, but, you know, fine. Relatively good natured.
Right.
No problem. Silly.
Lowbrow, but silly.
Exactly. Yeah. So in response, in the return fixture, when Brighton played Roma, they held up a sign that said Francesco Totti, Italian legend, one of their greatest ever players, obviously. Francesco Totti puts pineapple on his pizza. That's hashtag bands.
That's okay? The best. And not, it's delicious.
Not miming when 96 people died. Yeah. Hashtag DBAC.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, boys and girls. As producer Mel mentioned, next up is going to be injury time. But before that, we are going to do the EFL show where we recap the rest of English football. And we're going to be doing a live stream for that as well, which will be coming up in just a moment for everybody, too. If you'd like to switch over and stay with us, we'd love to have you. And then, of course, injury time. There's not going to be anything to preview this week because we're on international break. But we'll talk about how all the fantasy teams did, talk about the beers we were drinking. And then we'll also talk about the spicy little meatball that was, drama in the closed group today where people didn't follow that rule, the old DBAC rule.
I agree. You did not follow that DBAC rule.
You go right ahead and continue to say that, Mrs. Houston. I know the truth of it all. Anyways, Mr. Graham, should somebody want to find injury time, how do they go about doing it?
Very easy. It's patreon.com/dfootballshow. You just sign up to that one beautiful $5 tier. You get all the extra content Sam just talked about. And eventually, you'll also get a video that we have to film surrounding
something. Did I tell you
something. The theme? What? Earth Day?
Easter.
Oh, we're doing Easter.
Easter Bunny. Thank you, Easter Bunny. Bark, bark. Do the Cadbury
commercial. Don't let it all out.
Yeah. But anyways, and by the way, Mel, that's how a good whore does it. Till next week, everybody.
Good night.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Great day, yay, the fucking Gooner Graham. Stump of a lord. Look straight in shorts. Sam Graham, hey.
Sam Graham.
Fucking United! Get the fucking new button!